Hello, and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we have a bit of a news-oriented podcast. The week before last, we reported that Medicare would open its NCD on seat elevation and standing systems to review, which would mean that complex rehab stakeholders would likely have a public comment period to urge the agency to finally fund those items. Then, last Wednesday, on August 3rd, the National Council on Disability, which advises the federal government on disability issues, held a virtual roundtable to discuss the need for seat elevation. That's big news and really sets the stage for that public comment period. Here today to give us an insider's view of that virtual roundtable is Seth Johnson. Seth is the Senior Vice President of Government Relations for Pride Mobility and Quantum Rehab. Seth, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be with you today, David.
It's great to have you here. It's been a while since Seth and I have talked, so I'm very excited to have you here on the Zoom call. Let's dive in. First question, Seth, is, Quantum Rehab has been really working hard to push for the funding of seat elevation. I remember when you guys came out with the iLevel, one of the first things you did was set up that web page where you showed, you know, all the different funding sources. And as you guys got different payers to, you know, sign on and reimburse for these systems, you know, you added them to that website. And of course, you know, Medicare has been one of the major holdouts here. But, you know, before we dive into the funding issues, Seth, just to get it in your own words, you know, why are seat elevation systems so important for complex rehab users?
Well, because we live in a three-dimensional world, and without the access to the vertical environment, you're really limited to that three-dimensional world that, you know, non-disabled people have access to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I always just think, you know, all you have to do is just sit in a chair for a full day while everybody else is standing, and the need for seat elevation almost becomes immediately apparent, because who wants to keep craning their neck upwards? You know, not everybody gets that, you know, that they're not communicating on an eye to eye level with a wheelchair user, and so it's and if I'm not mistaken, there are a lot of CRT users who like wind up getting like neck problems and stuff like that just from constantly looking up. Isn't that true?
Yeah, from the constant craning of the neck, whether you're talking to a colleague at work, a family member at home, your physician, when you're being evaluated for a health condition, it's significant. And that, you know, the craning of the neck results in not only neck pain, but other healthcare issues as well.
And also there's just the functionality element to this as well. Like being able, you know, a lot of the world is designed for somebody the average person standing up. Whether it's shelving or cupboards or whatever. So there's that whole part of the equation as well.
Yeah. So there's a significant benefit to seat elevation from a mobility related activities of daily living, which is what Medicare's coverage criteria is predicated on. But even outside of, you know, your mobility related activities of daily living in the home, there's significant line of sight and safety benefits as well for those who are able to go back to work with the right level of accommodations, being put in a position where they're crossing a street. When you're crossing a street, just, you know, as we want to be seen when we're going through a crosswalk, if you're not in an elevated position when you're crossing the street, you're not, you know, necessarily seen by, you know, traffic on the road like you would be if you were elevated up, you know, 10 or 12 inches.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
There's a lot of safety benefits to the technology as well, outside of, you know, the medical benefits, which are quite significant.
All right. So, but the problem is that the national coverage determination concerning seed elevation has not considered these, you know, I think the phrase was primarily medical in nature. And so for quite some time, Medicare has not funded these items. However, now it's opening it up to review, and that gives the industry an opportunity here to push for reimbursement. And kind of setting the stage for that was earlier this week on Wednesday, August 3rd, the National Council on Disability hosted a virtual online policy roundtable on you know, seating elevation and standing systems. Maybe the best place, Seth, would be to start with the National Council on Disability. What is the National Council on Disability, Seth?
Yeah, so the National Council on Disability is a quasi-government agency under the Department of Health and Human Services that is charged with advising the president and administration officials in Congress on issues impacting people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So it is actually a part of the federal government,
gotcha,
which makes the roundtable that occurred earlier this week even more impactful and important.
And they sort of advise, like, in other words, like if there's an issue, you know, concerning disabled folks, you know, they study the issue and then they make recommendations to, you know, government agencies, whether it's CMS or whatever.
That's correct. That's correct. They are leaned on. They do that both proactively and reactively. Agencies will, you know, reach out to them looking for their input or guidance on issues, whether it's, you know, Department of Transportation right now is doing quite a bit of work on, you know, accessibility from a mobility perspective on aircraft and how to properly stow wheelchairs on an aircraft. So, you know, that's an issue where, for example, the DOT would reach out directly to the National Council and look for their guidance and insight as they're looking to develop rules and regulations and put policies out for comment to advance that goal of the administration to make airplanes more accessible for people with disabilities.
Got it. Okay. So public comments, key phrase here, because opening up that NCD is expected to include a 30-day public comment period, and that would give everybody in the industry, patient groups, physicians, whoever, an opportunity to advise Medicare to fund seat elevation. So that virtual roundtable that happened this week with the National Council on Disability sort of set the stage for that 30-day comment period whenever that begins, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. So, and we don't know when that comment period will begin yet, correct?
Well, the comment period will begin when CMS releases the National Coverage Determination reconsideration request for public comment. So we are expecting that to happen any day, but that's when that 30-day window will begin, is when Medicare makes that announcement that it's out for public comment.
Okay. All right. So we've set the table here for the audience. We know kind of what's happening, what's at stake, and what the game plan going forward is, those public comments. And of course, the plate right in front of us is this roundtable that we've been talking about. So what was discussed? What was the nature of the conversation, and what was your takeaway from it, Seth?
Yeah, well, I thought overall it was a very well-run roundtable. I thought the dialogue and conversation that took place during the 2-hour round table could not have been better. You know, Chairman Andreas Gallegos opened up the round table talking about his personal experience over the last 16 years, you know, with various types of technology on his power wheelchair, including power seat elevation, that in his words made all the difference or have made all the difference in the world in providing him access to the courtroom. He's an attorney, and also restaurants and other establishments where he, you know, regularly meets with colleagues and you know, goes out in the community with his family.
Was there any sort of like, you know, takeaway? Did they say, yes, Medicare should fund this? Did they make any kind of key advisements or recommendations to Medicare?
Well, their main goal with having the round table was to push for and formally go on record with the administration supporting Medicare coverage for both power seat elevation and power standing systems technology.
That's phenomenal.
So that was their goal, and it really was phenomenal. The National Council has weighed in previously, along with the AMA, on the need for coverage for this technology. But having them host this roundtable that was recorded, you know, really puts them more formally on record again, pushing for Medicare to cover this technology, which, you know, is really viewed by many as a healthcare equity issue. When you look at the payers for this technology, Medicare is the only payer that will not consider this technology for payment. Medicaids generally will consider the technology for payment. It all comes down to the documentation showing the medical need for the technology. Private payers, by and large, are the same. They will consider the technology. There's not a coverage exclusion with those other payers like there is with the Medicare program. So we really need Medicare to come out of the dark ages, update their coverage policy, and allow for coverage and payment of this life-changing technology.
I got to say, Seth, you must be kind of walking on air a little bit. If I'm not mistaken, you launched that iLevel website listing all the funding sources and everything for that back in 2015. So this is kind of 7 years in the making of sort of, you know, demonstrating to Medicare, hey, Medicare, everybody's funding this but you. And now finally we might see some positive movement in that regard. I imagine you've got to be feeling pretty good today.
Well, we are. We're a little frustrated that, you know, we still haven't seen the national coverage determination released for public comment. But we're very, you know, pleased to hear that it's expected any day. It's a long time coming, certainly. And, you know, you mentioned the number of payers or how we started tracking that, you know, quite a few years ago. I can tell you today, you know, there's thousands of payers out there that have paid for this technology. So, you know, we've really come a long way, but we're not there yet. And we just need Medicare to release that national coverage determination reconsideration request for public comment. So the official clock begins and we move toward the advancement once and for all of coverage for this technology.
Well, that roundtable must have surely been a good you know, development in your favor in terms of pressuring CMS to get on the stick and open up that reconsideration, you know, make that reconsideration announcement that you just mentioned.
Absolutely. And not only the National Council, but you know, there were three members of Congress that spoke very favorably about the need for access to this technology and, you know, conveyed their frustrations with the fact that Medicare is not keeping up with the times and providing access to this extremely important life-enhancing technology. Give them access to both, you know, their more access to their mobility-related activities of daily living, but also access to the more functional environment outside the home that they encounter when going shopping, when that they encounter when they're commuting to work or, you know, to other community engagements that, you know, they should be able to fully participate in. We just celebrated the 32nd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that was, you know, the goal back in 1991 to provide access to people with disabilities to the community.
Well, and you made it, you at the top of the interview, you said something that I thought was, you know, really important was, is that we live in a three-dimensional world. And, you know, I think that it's really important for anybody who's not a mobility user to take a second and put themselves in a mobility user's place. And if you could only travel in one dimension, right, the mobility, you know, getting from point A to point B, that's severely limiting. And a wheelchair, you know, prior to the invention of a wheelchair, right, people didn't even have that. So this is the next logical step. Not everything has a therapeutic upside, but is still important in terms of taking care of somebody who has a lifelong medical condition, whatever that medical condition might be. And so it just, you know, one could argue that, you know, that this is just the next logical step in mobility, you know, life, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. I mean, the Veterans Administration provides coverage for this technology. And, you know, like I said earlier, Medicare is really the only payer that excludes this technology from consideration for coverage and payment. So it's certainly a change within Medicare that's long overdue.
So, Seth, during the roundtable, you know, you mentioned that lots of people spoke. Was there anybody who really jumped out at you? Were there some, you know, kind of particularly moving or elucidating points that people made during the roundtable?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the consumers, there were three consumers that spoke quite eloquently about how this technology that they currently have access to through other payers really significantly allows them to more fully participate in their mobility-related activities of daily living and do much more independently than they would be able to do without it. And one of the consumers even spoke about how she, you know, she no longer requires a caregiver to help her.
Wow.
Due to the ability to have access to this technology. So it really is life-changing, provides for more independence for those that have access to this technology.
Okay.
And then I guess, you know, aside from the consumers that I thought did an excellent job conveying the benefits of the technology, mm-hmm. Doctor from the National Institute on Disability Independent Living and Rehabilitation Research, Anjali Barber-Pratt, also did a great job of talking about the strong medical evidence supporting coverage for both systems. And she in particular said the evidence for seed elevation, power seed elevation, is exceptionally strong. Kara Masalink, who I know you're familiar with, she's the chair of the clinicians task force, also highlighted how power seed elevation technology is primarily medical in nature, and that there's 129 plus research articles in two recent peer-reviewed journal articles highlighting the medical benefits of power seed elevation. So very strong clinical evidence. And, you know, we heard directly from the consumers about the strong medical benefits and functional benefits that access to this technology has provided them. So overall, a great round table.
There you go. And Seth, you know, just to get into the clinical benefits, do you want to kind of, for the audience, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, quality of life and, you know, the ability to get out and do the things you need, as well as not have to deal with the craning neck. But could you quickly kind of bulletize some of the key clinical benefits of seed elevation?
Yeah. So really the key medical benefits of power seed elevation have to do with the ability to independently transfer from a seated position for toileting purposes, for, you know, transfer to another chair, transfer to a bed. So there's a significant benefit provided just by the ability to raise up, you know, 12 inches. So that way you can use gravity and a slide board to transfer directly onto that other surface that you need to use as a part of your daily activities. In addition to that, you know, you mentioned, you know, access in the kitchen earlier. So the ability to raise up and reach some of those items in the refrigerator that may be on one of the upper shelves or the upper part of the door in the refrigerator, it gives you more access to that, having the ability to reach access to the cupboard to get glasses or plates or other items necessary for cooking or eating. And then also, you know, one of the things that Paul Lane mentioned during the round table is safety and the ability, you know, when you're cooking a meal on a stove, to actually be elevated above the burners and be able to look in the pot of water to see if it's boiling when you're reaching over to make sure that your arm is elevated so you're not reaching up at an angle where your arm is very susceptible to being burned by, you know, the stovetop burner. So it's big safety benefits that go along with the mobility-related activities of daily living benefits. And then, you know, in the bathroom, you know, the ability to independently groom, you know, if you're at a static seat height, your ability to look into the mirror and over the countertop with the sink can be extremely limited without the ability to raise up 10 or 12 inches. So a lot of benefits, transfer and reach being two of the most significant. But then, you know, we also talked about line of sight and, you know, the safety aspect as well.
All right. So we have, you know, eventually at some point here, we're just waiting for CMS to, you know, open up this 30-day comment period for people who want to get involved. What should they do, Seth?
Yeah, so there's really two things they can do. At the end of the round table, Chairman of the National Council on Disability, Andreas Gallegos, attendees to submit comments directly to the National Council on Disability supporting coverage in this area to help them gather even more examples and insight from the stakeholder community on why Medicare needs to cover this technology. So those comments directly to the National Council on Disability supporting coverage are due no later than next Friday, August the 12th. The more important comment period is the CMS comment period that we're still waiting for that to open up. But as mentioned earlier, that should be any day once CMS puts that out for public comment. And then with that announcement from Medicare, there'll be a 30-day public comment period that's extremely important that Medicare will review and utilize to help make their decision as to whether to cover this technology and then pay for this technology for Medicare beneficiaries. So there stay tuned on the second, but immediately stakeholders are urged to submit comments directly to the National Council on Disability.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like we have a game plan. Seth, thank you very much for being on the podcast and sharing all this information.
Great. Thank you very much for the opportunity, David. It was a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pleasure's all mine. Okay, I think we'll wrap things up for today's episode. Thanks again to Seth for being on the podcast. And if you want to get involved, make sure to go back and listen to his guidelines in terms of submitting comments to the National Council on Disability, as well as keeping an eye out for that public comment period to begin. Big stuff happening there. Okay, before I sign off, I have a question for you. Do you want to help the HME Business Podcast reach more HME providers? Then take a quick second to rate and review this episode. Also, please, if you haven't done so, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to head over to hme-business.com. Again, that's hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the magazine there as well. You can get that as a print edition or as a PDF flipbook that gets sent to your email inbox. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And I'm at Post Acute News on Twitter. And if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via email. My email address is D as in David, K-O, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering important HME business topics like technological innovations and funding for them, such as seat elevation systems. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.